7 days. You know what we can accomplish in 7 days? We go on vacations. Most people don't go on vacations from Tuesday through Thursday. Some do, but most of the time when we go on vacation, we go on vacation for 7 days. You know, we take a week off from work. It encompasses 2 weekends. We go on a vacation. Even most companies will, and studies have shown that no matter how hard you work or don't work, that at least 7 days you should take away. That's something we can accomplish in 7 days. We can get over the flu in 7 days. And for those of you who don't remember what the flu was, that's something that we had before COVID. We can get over the flu in 7 days, right? We feel better. We start to get life back in us. A lot can happen in 7 days. And we grocery shop typically once every 7 days. Most of the time, we don't go to the grocery store. Now, I know that some people in bigger cities, they will go to the grocery store, like Seinfeld in New York. You know, you see them occasionally in the grocery store, but that's what they do. They stop and they get for a day or two because they can't push a cart around into their car. Most people don't drive. They go taxis. So they carry groceries, and they grocery shop maybe 1 or 2 days at a time. But where we live, I've always shopped once a week. We shop for the week. We don't just shop for couple days and then have to go back. We shop for the week. So our mindset is on 7 days. We know that there's a lot that can be accomplished in 7 days. But I want to look at a couple things that the Bible talks about can happen in 7 days. Genesis 7:10, and it came to pass after 7 days that the waters of the flood were on the earth. Well, you know, Noah built the ark, and took him 120 years to build the ark. We know that from Scripture. But what's the 7 days that God starts and then the waters came? Do you know that God gave Noah 7 days to prepare for the judgment of God that was coming upon the earth? He was given 7 days to gather these animals and get himself on the ark. God gave him 7 days to prepare for the judgment of God. Pretty amazing that he would give him any amount of time, you know? I mean, was the ark built and then they kind of kicked back and was like, whew, that was tough. Who was 120 years I can't get back? Is that what they did? I don't know. I mean, as soon as it was done, God pushed them along and said, you have 7 days to get these animals and yourself prepared on the ark. Genesis 8:10, and he waited yet another 7 days, and again he sent the dove out from the ark. This is Noah on the ark, and he waited 7 days, and he sent the dove out, and the dove would come back, and he sent 7 days, and the dove would come back. You know, we start to lose hope and we get anxious after we start getting around that 7 day mark. Why did God show that Noah every 7 days sent it, but why didn't he send it out every day? Well, when he sent it out and the dove came back, he knew the waters were still there. But then after a period of time, he started to think, you know, gosh, are we going to be on this forever? I mean, let's send the dove out again. Let's send the dove out again. So, you know, in 7 days, we start getting anxious when we start getting around that time period. We can start to lose hope because the dove kept coming back. And he kept sending it out, but finally the dove came back with the olive branch, and then the dove didn't return. So, you know, but in those 7 days that he kept sending it out, he was looking for something. He was becoming anxious. Judges 14:17. Now his wife went on Samson the 7 days while the feast lasted, and it happened on the 7th day that he told her because she pressed him so much. I don't doubt it. But what happened to Samson in 7 days? We succumb to the pressure and we give in. It took his wife 7 days for him to give her the answer that she wanted, but she had to be on him for 7 days. But in 7 days, he gave in. She couldn't take it anymore. See, a lot can happen in 7 days. The judgment of God can be prepared for from 7 days. We start to lose hope. We get anxious. In 7 days, we can give in to pressure that we wouldn't have thought that we would have given in to. And you know, look, I'm not talking about just exactly 7 days. I'm talking about when we start exceeding that 7-day mark. The apostles were in the upper room, and they waited and waited and waited. You know, 30 days would have been a very long time. But 7 days was long enough. Genesis 31:23. Then he took his brethren with him, and he pursued him for 7 days' journey, and he overtook him in the mountains of Gilead. This is when Jacob was fleeing Laban. And what happened was is that Laban never gave up. Laban never let him alone. He wanted one daughter, he made him work 7 years, and then when he got that daughter, he tricked him and gave him the wrong daughter, which was the older daughter. And so he had to work another 7 years to get the woman that he loved. And then he had to work with the cattle and the sheep. And then he was accused always of stealing. Laban never really gave up on him. He was always pressing on him. And so Jacob came to a place where he just left. He took his wives, he took his livestock, and he left. And so when Laban came upon him, he said, "Why did you run out? You didn't give me a chance to say bye." Well, he was lying. He was lying about that. Jacob told him, and he told him a great lengthy story. He said, If I took the spotted lambs," and then he said, You only had spotted lambs, and they all came to me." He says, "You're always accusing me of stealing something." The enemy can overtake us in 7 days. Laban fled, but then Jacob fled, but then Laban got up to him in 7 days. You see, the Bible says a lot can happen in 7 days. Exodus 12:19, "For 7 days no leaven shall be found in your houses, since whoever eats what is leavened, that same person shall be cut off from the congregation of Israel." And God made it very clear in Exodus here, whether if it was a stranger or a native, you'd be cut off. We can be cut off from God in 7 days. Anytime during that time period, he said, if you ate of the leaven of bread, you'd be cut off from your people of Israel. So are you telling me that if I miss 1 7-day period from around this table, because I know y'all know this, you know, the concept here, the idea here is that we meet every 7 days. And we can see some of the reasons why. We give in. We get tempted. We lose hope. So you telling me that, well, remember, this is the Old Testament. That's under the law, but it's the same mindset. If someone chooses to stay away from God more than 7 days, remember Noah was given 7 days to prepare for the judgment of God. You ever thought that between one communion to the next, that we were preparing for the judgment of God? One day that will be the case. One day that will be the case. What would have happened if Noah hadn't prepared the animals and himself to get on that ark? Do you think God would have given him an extra day? We would have been cut off. That's what he tells you. Let me tell you something. God is not playing games with your soul. He's trying to get you to stop playing games with your soul. That's what he's trying to do. And we can understand 7 days. We shop for 7 days. We go on vacation for 7 days. We worship once every 7 days. When I talk about worship, I'm talking about as a collective body around this table. God's not playing games. He would not have given Noah the 8th day. Because you're going to see what happens on the 8th day. First Samuel 10:8. 7 days you shall wait till I come to you and show you what you shall do. We come to once again need the Word of God for counsel after 7 days. You see, we start relying on our own wisdom and we start relying on us studying a little bit and reading a little bit. And then we just come to a place that after a certain amount of time has passed that we just kind of become lost as children. We just kind of need to reach out to an adult and ask them what's going on. What's next? Right? Going with therapy, you get done with something and then you say, okay, this is what you want me to do. What's next? And then they start to develop a mindset that say, well, what would you want to do next? Anyway, my point is that God, Samuel shows us that within 7 days, we're again looking for the counsel of God. God is showing us all of these things throughout Scripture. He's showing us all these things. We've read them. But in the context that we put them together in what can go on in 7 days, look at what He's showing you. You'll never stop studying the Bible. You'll never start gleaning any information from the Bible. There's always something new that God will show you in context of what's going on. I want to tell you a story that lasts only 7 days. Don't worry, it's not going to take me 7 days to tell it. Genesis 2:2, and on the seventh day God ended His work which He had done, and He rested on the seventh day from all His work which He had done. So in 7 days God created this earth. And when you look up that day, that word day, and some people will tell you that it was a unit, it was just a time period, a measurement. No, it meant from sun up to sundown. A day was a day. One day. 7 days He created the world. You know what happened on the eighth day? The devil went to work. See, when we stay away from this table for 7 days, I believe that blood covers us those 7 days because it keeps us in that covenant. If we start getting out there, eighth, ninth, tenth day, I just want us to understand one thing. I'm not saying that blood still doesn't cover us on that eighth and ninth day. Because we all have instances when we can't be here. Right? But I don't have the authority to tell you can't be, but I just want us to understand something. On the eighth day, that's when the devil went to work. If he sees you on that eighth day, and it's been 7 days since you had the counsel of God, it's been 7 days since you prepared for judgment, it's been 7 days since you've been running from the enemy, on that eighth day, the devil watches you and he comes after you harder. Let me tell you something. It hits harder. I'm not saying that it doesn't make you fall, that you can't sustain that, but on that eighth day, it hits harder. He will never stop until God brings the final judgment down on him. On that eighth day, the devil starts coming after you. He went to work after God rested, and he will never stop until God brings the final judgment on him. So what would have happened if Noah would have waited to the eighth day? Satan would have had him. God told him, I give you 7 days. And he meant it. He tells us to worship his son. He means it. He says, let this blood change your life. He means it. He is not playing games. Because what he's trying to save you from is that eighth day. He's trying to save you from the devil. He's trying to save you from losing your salvation. He's letting us know that after 7 days, on that eighth day without God, that we start to become a little bit weaker. He's telling you this, not me. If you don't want to listen to Him and you think you're strong enough, have at it. But God says you're not. God gives you a warning. And He gives you that warning. You know why? Because He loves you. That's why He gives you that warning. But that's not the story. I want us to see something else. Acts 2:1, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all one accord in one place. There's a little miniature study here that Larry and I realized as we were going over some stuff. Pentecost is 50 days. Jesus was taken down from the cross and put into that tomb, and then Pentecost started. So you had 50 days from when He came off that cross until the apostles were given their marching orders with the tongues of fire and the wind and all this. 3 days in the ground, 40 days after His resurrection, He walked the earth. Now everybody will tell you, and we told you, that there was 10 days that they were in that upper room. But that's because we started with the resurrection. We don't get to add 3 days to Pentecost. Jesus was in the ground 3 days during Pentecost. It was 7 days that these apostles waited in that upper room. And that's important because those 3 days that Jesus was in the ground on Pentecost, that ceremony of Pentecost for 50 days was when they brought that lamb of sacrifice to atone for their sins. And that 3 days He was in the ground, He was rescuing those Old Testament saints. That shows us that God's blood went back and forward. that when on that day, that 50 days of Pentecost, he was at work. So anyway, we had 7 days that the apostles were in the upper room, waiting on God. Man had been without God for 7 days waiting in the upper room. Now, I know the Holy Spirit's always been at work, but this was a different work that he was getting ready to do. And it wasn't the tongues of fire that he did. It wasn't the tongues that they did. This was a dialect that they spoke, to the whole crowd, because they listed all the different nationalities that were there, that they were Jews, but they were different languages. And when the Holy Spirit spoke on the Tower of Babel, the Holy Spirit came down and pushed the voices out. The language separated the language. And on the day of Pentecost, that was put back together. Because when the apostles spoke, they spoke in their native tongue. That's what people said. These are Galileans. How are they speaking? But the people that heard, they heard in their own native tongue. God brought it back together. He's always been about us learning. Not about secrets and codes, but always about us learning. So 7 days they waited in the upper room, and then after 7 days, God changed the whole world. He poured out His Spirit on us. In that watery grave of baptism, He said, "Let the house of Israel know assuredly that this Jesus whom you've crucified, God has made both Lord and Christ." Look what God did in 7 days. Man waited on Him for 7 days. But I want us to see something magnificent here in the fact of 7 days. I want us to see this. John 20:19. "Then the same day at evening, when the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews," after the resurrection, prior to the resurrection, the first 3 days, these people were hiding in the upper room because they saw Jesus go into the tomb and they thought they were going to be next. They had enough power and clout with the Roman government to kill Jesus, and they thought they were going to be next. So they were cowering in the upper room. Jesus came and stood in the midst of them and said, "Peace be with you." Now this was the account, I believe, where Thomas was. And I don't think I have that up here, but Thomas, when he saw Jesus, he had missed Him the first time. And as much as we would like for everybody to be here for all the studies, sometimes when you're not, what you miss is what you miss. That learning can't be recouped. Thomas didn't see Jesus come to them on the first time. They told him, and he said, I won't believe it. But then when he saw Him, he fell at His feet, and he said, "My Lord and my God." I want us to understand something. On the first day of every week, here's Jesus. People are coming in. He wants to make sure, "Do I look okay?" First day of every week, here He is. He sees you come in. He's just smiling. He's just so happy. First day of every week, Jesus comes here waiting on you. Every week. I'm not going to say that Jesus is not in your life through our prayers and reading of Scripture and the things that we do throughout the week as we are on our Christian walk. But I'm talking about there's a set-aside time. And once a week, every week, every 7 days, He's standing here, He's waiting on you. Every 7 days. You see, we can only be such a small and limited time without the presence of God. He allowed them for 7 days. You know what He was doing during that 7 days? Go to Revelation chapter 12. It tells you what He was doing. When Satan, when he was in the ground for those 3 days, he rescued those souls from Hades because he told us in Revelation, he said, "Behold, I have the keys to death and Hades." And when he was in the ground, he opened up that gate because he was locked behind that gate, same as anybody. But God made him a promise. His Father made His a promise. He said, and this was preached on the first gospel sermon. He said, "I will not let your soul stay in Hades, nor your body see corruption." And what that meant was is that his body wouldn't lay around in that tomb for very long, and his soul would not be behind that locked gate. That locked gate was busted open, and he took those Old Testament saints. You can see that in chapter 6 of Revelation. where it says that they said, "How long, O Lord, holy and true?" That was a conversation that happened in Hades. He told him, he said, "You got to wait a little while. You got to wait a little while." Why did he have to wait? The apostles had to write the New Testament. They all had to die for the service to God. The people died bringing this Bible together that we hold in our hands. But that sealing that they were done when they were given that white robe, you see that that is a sealing of the Holy Spirit. And so, for 3 days, he went down there, and you know what he did? He preached the gospel to them. He told them what had happened. And they took off. Oh, the devil got real mad at that. You look at chapter 12 of Revelation. The devil took off into heaven because why would he think he could fight Jesus? Well, he just killed him. He had just killed him, and for 3 days he held him behind a locked gate. So he took off into heaven. And God said, "No longer." And Michael came out and he fought those. Michael and his angels fought the devils, and they won. They threw him down. They cast him down out of heaven. Cast him down out of heaven. They won the fight. That battle's been fought. Jesus has already won that fight. That's why the heaven that exists today has to be done away with, because it was tainted with sin. The devil had presence there and he accused us, but no longer can he accuse you. He can't tell you you're not good enough to get in because the blood of Christ is, and that covers you. So he can't accuse you any longer, but he was cast down. So that's what was happening for 7 days. Jesus didn't really, God didn't abandon man for 7 days. He was fighting for their souls, and he won. Read it, chapter 12. Starts off in Israel, then it goes to the church, and then it goes to the devil being thrown out. We can only be a small, limited time without the presence of God in our life, but you know what? This is what happens when people love you. This is what happens when women love their children. This is what happens when parents have their grandkids. Jesus can only be a small, limited time without us. You understand that? He knows that in seven days that we'll become weak and all these things can happen. But it's not just that. He's here every Sunday because He wants to see you. He's here every Sunday, every Lord's Day, He gathers around that table and He is present with us. And He wants to be here. You know why? Because He misses you. I know that we pray and He's our mediator and we read and we talk to Him and He's a part of our life, but you've got to understand that what happens here is totally different than any other thing. We are gathered together with one accord, one mouth, one speech to praise God. We are part of His body. He's waiting for us every single Sunday. He comes up here, just like I said, He comes up here and it's almost time. They're about here. Huh? Every Sunday. I don't know what He does. I don't know. You know, you think of Him as God as He's standing up here. Well, who's going to show up today? You know? I mean, when you look at God and He answers these things, but let me tell you something. God will put up with a lot of things, but if you want to anger Him to the point where He won't put up with anything anymore, you put off His Son. And God help us if His Son ever looks and says, "Well, who's going to show up today?" Mm-mm. We want Him. He's waiting for us because He loves us. He wants to be a part of our life. And He doesn't want to be any more than 7 days. That's His limit. He comes back every 7 days. How does that make you feel? That the God of heaven, the God that created this universe, doesn't want to be 7 days without us gathering together to spend a little time together. That's awesome right there. You see, the longer we stay away, we become weak. We start to lose hope. The situations that we're in seem like there's no answers and they start failing on us. And then we start blaming God for them. You know, we spent all this time serving You and look what's happening. But we're not looking at what we're doing to God, to the person that has loved us and has always held out His hands to try to help us. We're not thinking about the things that we're doing to Him. We become in danger of giving in to the enemy the longer that we stay away from Christ, this table, and each other. You see, time means something. Time was created in the beginning. I'll read this. This is why time was created in the beginning. It wasn't just so that we could measure it. It's in Genesis 1:14. It says, "And God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs, seasons, for days, and for years." God created time so that we would have a time frame that we could understand and so that we wouldn't be away too long. And God created time so Christ could one day come back and end that time. Just stop it. We had to have a concept of what was going on. We have to have a concept of what it meant to stay away from God too long. He created time for signs, seasons. Right? This is one of the things that He uses it for. The longer we stay away from Christ, this table and each other, understand these are the things that God said is going to happen. And so you have to ask yourself, are you prepared to do this? Are you prepared to fight the enemy on his own? Because on that eighth day, he's going to start at work. That doesn't mean he doesn't work between the 7 days, but I want you to understand something. The reason it makes a difference between this 7 days and what I consider the eighth day is because during the 7 days, God was at work. Satan tries to work during those 7 days, but it can't be but so effective because God is at work. And God is at work in our life from this table to the next table. Do you understand that? We are preparing for judgment. We are keeping our hope. We're not letting the enemy overtake us. But on that eighth day, that God is not at work with that blood because we, you know, that eighth day, Satan sees that and he's all over you. He's all over you. And God says, you need me. I need you. I need you. And that's what Peter told him on the day of Pentecost. That's what he was telling him. He said, you need Jesus. He said, I want you to know that this Jesus whom you crucified, God has made both Lord and Christ. He said, the one you're waiting on to redeem you under this law is the one that you killed. You need Him. You need Him. And He told him to repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus, for the remission of sin, and you will receive the gift of His Holy Spirit. And that was a promise to the whole world. Those that were there, their offsprings, and those that were far off. And the Bible says, guess what? They continued in them. You know how often they continued in them? Scripture shows us. Every Lord's Day they continued in it. Every Lord's Day. So what's your decision as we stand and as we sing our hymn of invitation?